Why would I make them so uncomfortable?
It probably has to do with your reputation. They feel your methods, your theories are...
spooky? Do you think I'm spooky?
His face was so blank and expressionless. He didn't even seem human.
I'm not turning my back on anyone!
Have you ever found a metal implant in your body? Have you checked everywhere?
Mulder, you have to understand!
Put it down!
You put it down first!
Scully!
Yeah, we're boys.
Why? What?
Did you hear?
Oh no! Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
FMIAM.
I am one of your hosts, David Bell.
I am a second number of your host, Tom Ryman.
Yeah, that's correct.
An additional number.
This is all factual information.
Uh-huh. Man, we're supercharged. We're coming back. after a long break. You guys didn't notice the break, but we hadn't recorded a bunch.
Yes.
So it's actually our first recording of the new year. It is New Year's Day currently when we're recording this.
That's true. I also drank coffee right before we started recording.
Excuse me. We got a Keurig for Christmas, so I could start whipping up some. Yeah.
Get that Keurig.
Marina's been making some chai latte. It's been fucked up.
Oh, that's great.
Some hot cocoa. It's fucked up.
Jesus Christ.
You put the little cups in that thing, and it's just like, here's your coffee. Here's your delicious chai tea latte.
That's real hot. Yeah. Tom, let me tell you what I was doing. This is kind of like the same thing. I've been trying to get my cat to eat her hypoallergenic duck cat food, and she doesn't eat it. She doesn't eat it. Yeah. But she likes a lot of gravies. Mm-hmm. So I took that duck and I put it in my blender and I blended it.
Jesus.
I know. And then I added fish oil. Because I have these fish oil pills, so I cut them open to add some fish oil, and it sprayed all over my kitchen and on my face. And then I blended this duck in my good blender. Like, I'm not going to use that part of the blender again. That's like for the cat part. And I blended it, and it got all over my hands, and there's fish oil on the blender. And I put it on the dish, and she sniffed it, and she ran away like it was on fire. So we'll try again another day.
Dave, you knew better. Like, deep down in your heart, you knew better than to do all that work for that goddamn animal.
It's true. I wanted her to be happy.
She's never gonna be happy.
It's true. It's true. People probably will have noticed this already, but this is a free episode of Fox Mulder's A Maniac, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're closing out season two.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're at part one of a three-parter, and we thought that would be a good opportunity to hook a bunch of new people, you know, into hearing the podcast and to maybe get hyped up on our Patreon, because we're about to hit a hell of a three-parter, you guys. We're at season two, episode 25.
It's a real Pirates of the Caribbean original trilogy situation.
It really is. This is known as Anasazi.
Anasazi.
These next three episodes are, in my opinion, we have a lot.
This one in particular.
Yes. But it doesn't let up. It doesn't let up.
Like, this is the most apeshit Mulder goes so far.
These are also, I think, my favorite three back-to-back episodes of The X-Files ever. Like, I think these are my favorite X-Files episodes.
A lot happens.
A lot happens. Characters, people die. Multiple characters will die.
Several major characters, well, not major characters, but like recognizable characters die. Well,
this is also, I think, the moment the series comes into like full swing. Like when you look back and you think about the X-Files with the Syndicate and Skinner and the cigarette smoking man and the conspiracies, these three episodes are when it all takes shape.
Yeah.
Before this, there's pieces. But this is like the first one that like represents the iconic X-Files episodes.
Yes.
So this is a big deal.
Correct.
This is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do we explain what
how
this
do we
episode
explain
is?
What happens?
Yeah, I mean, for people, just for people to like to jog their memory, if you haven't watched the show, should we even explain what this show is? I feel like people know at this point.
Oh, you mean explain what our show is?
What our show is, we haven't even done that. I'm too excited. I'm so pumped.
Oh, so pumped. Well, basically, guys, we're doing a chronological rewatching of The X-Files with a specific eye toward how out of control, out of his mind, Mulder behaves in each episode. And it is staggering.
Yes.
It has changed the series for me.
Yes, absolutely. I've watched this series too many times to count. Mm-hmm. It's like the first TV show I ever watched as a kid, and doing the rewatch specifically looking for this, mm-hmm. like it's blowing me away, especially these next three episodes.
Yeah, I didn't even us talking about it. If you've been listening for a while, we've been like sort of getting antsy about Anasazi coming up because we've been like, oh man, it's going to be wild. And then even with that buildup, like knowing what happens in the episode was not adequate preparation to like watch it and be like, holy shit, this episode is nuts.
I was not prepared. Okay, so for people who are like trying to remember the episodes, I mean, I suggest these are all on Amazon Prime.
They're on Hulu as well.
They're on Hulu, so if you can go back and rewatch them, you should. But This is the episode that begins with a Native American grandpa giving some cryptic bullshit to his teen who doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, takes off on his dirt bike, like, fuck you, grandpa.
It's also like he's really ominous about it. He's like, leave the snakes alone and they are coming and whatever. But it's like, it's if anybody knows a grandpa, grandpas just make up shit all the time. He just says it in like a more serious way. So,
right. He could be talking about the plumber is coming and he's convinced the plumber is stealing from him.
Right. You don't know.
You don't know what he's talking about.
But yeah, the teen buzzes off into New Mexico and finds a train car full of alien corpses.
Yep. Just it's shriveled dead ETs.
Right. And that's probably the most iconic part of these episodes, right?
Yes. Easily.
It's Mulder. We'll get into it, but it's Mulder coming upon these corpses, dealing with the syndicate, getting drugged. Mm-hmm. Which I can't wait to talk about.
Getting microdosed.
Getting microdosed. and getting trapped. The season ends with Mulder trapped in this train car and the cigarette smoking man lighting it on fire.
The season ends with Mulder exploding, as far as we can tell.
Yes. I mean, this episode. Just this episode, Mulder, I believe, gets beat up, drugged, shot, and exploded.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me open my
oh, do you have the
official
holy text?
Guide? Yeah, to the X-Files that I have
here. The
holy
tome. We're going to need to find a new one soon, right?
Yes, we are. These three episodes are the last for this text. I think I have another book lying around somewhere that covers later seasons, but this is the truth is out there. The official guide to the X-Files, created by or written by Brian Lowry, that we've been using for the first, two seasons now, and it's been very good to us. Mm-hmm. So
we've learned a lot of powerful lessons from it.
Yep. And what we learned in this one is Chris Carter said that, you know, this takes place in New Mexico and they were still shooting in Vancouver. And he said that southwestern United States is pretty much the only area he couldn't duplicate in Vancouver. So they went to a rock quarry and they painted it red with 1,600 gallons of red paint. And then they did a lot of composite shots of New Mexico, which you can sort of tell when they're when he's speeding around on that bike.
I wouldn't have noticed. I wasn't
Oh, really?
I mean, now I'm going to go back and watch it the next time I see it, and that's going to be all I can see. But
I knew about it because I think I had some X-Files magazine back in the 90s that showed the before and after for the composite shots on this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I was very in tune to that. To that fact already. But yeah, sure. it's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, it doesn't look bad.
Yeah. So,
Nice work, Chris Carter.
Nice work, Chris Carter.
I bet he doesn't hear that enough.
No, and he doesn't.
I know he's a big fan of the pod, so.
Of course.
Chris Carter, amazing job.
I know you're listening. Great job, Chris.
Perfect work.
CC! Perfect work. Shall we get into worlds? So we get into world's luckiest detective?
We should.
Here's the thing. I'm just going to say this up front. Uh-huh. I was going to suggest that we not do any of the sections and just do a freeform Mulder After Dark for this entire episode.
That might be the thing to do. I'm not sure. Normally, we have a few different sections.
We do. And World's Luckiest Detective is about the fact that Mulder is... he kind of stumbles upon the answer a lot, or all the work is done for him.
Right. His investigative technique is to usually just either wander around until he randomly guesses the answer, or somebody will just hand it to him.
Right. Both, usually. Usually mm-hmm. he'll find some ash at a crime scene and be like, it was poltergeist. This is ghost ash. And then he'll be 100% right. He's just by staggering coincidence. This episode is a big World's Luckiest Detective episode. Only because Mulder doesn't do shit.
He doesn't do anything but lose his mind.
Yeah.
They've hooked up LSD to the soft water container in his apartment building.
Yeah.
So he's just been, it's also like the most water we've ever seen Mulder drink ever.
Yes.
And he's just slurping it down and just getting more and more high on LSD, and he has no idea.
I think that's why he's suddenly drinking the water, because he's just like, this water is finally doing something for me.
Yeah, this water's really picking me
they
up.
They say it's LSD or amphetamines or a combination of the two.
Let's see.
The plot of this is Mulder gets contacted by a hacker who has found this like DOD top secret file
through the lone gunman.
The lone gunman
show up at Mulder's house and they tell him that this guy,
and they give
the
him
thinker,
that. And the thinker, this. Right? And he gets too close to the truth, so the government doses him. And here's where the big coincidence happens: is he opens the file, and it's in Navajo, and Scully tracks down a Navajo translator, right?
Who is the lady that played Joe Goodensnake's sister in Shapes, the werewolf episode.
That's true.
Same actress.
And she tracks down the Navajo elder, the grandfather from the beginning, who by complete coincidence happens to know where there's a fucking car full of alien corpses.
Yeah, this is like...
That's completely unrelated.
This is a big like Syndicate After Dark thing for me, is that they chose to encrypt their top secret alien conspiracy files in a language spoken by very few people, and then bury the secret alien coffin pertaining to these encrypted files in a Navajo reservation, like one of the only places in the world where you can find somebody that can break this code.
Right.
Like, what are you guys doing?
I don't know, man. It's ridiculous, because it's the equivalent of like Indiana Jones, like trying to like find a translator for some holy text to the Grail, and the translator just being like, oh, I have the Grail in my trunk if you want it.
Yeah.
Like, I just happen to have it. Because that's what it is they're just like, we need to go to this tribe to figure out what these files say. And they're just like, well, we can translate this and we'll throw in a train car full of dead aliens.
You want to? I've been trying to get rid of these dead aliens. Yeah. I'm really trying to unload these alien corpses.
You guys want these? And that's all Scully. That's all Scully. While Mulder gets drugged, beat up, shot, on a just... a rampage, right?
This is full on rampage, yeah.
Mulder basically he finds the files, and then he essentially blacks out does no detective work and wakes up on a Navajo reservation to someone being like, so we got all these aliens, you want to check them out? Like, that is the that is all Mulder does.
Yeah.
In this episode. Mm-hmm. Nothing, he doesn't do anything in between.
Yeah. He just blacks out. And he goes on an unknown bender, like a surprise bender.
Yeah. This is extremely lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how often do you,
how often do you stumble upon a nest of alien corpses?
Yeah, while you're blacked out on LSD and amphetamines. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the story. Mulder's arc. He spends most of this in the next episode passed out.
Unconscious,
while Scully does things for him. And then he just keeps waking up to news.
Yeah, waking up to more information.
Yeah. That's all he does.
Scully...
It's amazing. It's Scully amazing because
killed my dad.
Yeah, it's like the captain of a ship just getting too drunk and passing out and waking up and they're there, and like this, because Mulder's the one spearheading this whole thing.
Yes,
and he just fucking checks out in like the first, I don't know, 20 minutes of this episode.
He's already being drugged, I think.
Yeah.
When the episode starts, which means that they were just incidentally drugging Mulder. Like, it wasn't related to...
Oh my God, you're right.
It wasn't related to the files that the Thinker gives him, because you remember the episode begins with the lone gunman showing up at Mulder's house, and while they're there, one of his elderly neighbors kills her husband because she's
on the drugs.
She's high on the drugs.
They might not even be drugging Mulder specifically. Like, maybe they're just like, let's see what happens.
Right. It's like, yeah. It's just like a shitty government experiment.
Yeah. Like
another Tuskegee experiment. Yeah. Where they're just like, hey, let's try this crazy ass drug on these people and see what happens.
I can't wait to talk about Mulder's apartment building, because boy, do those folks go through a lot in this episode.
They sure do. Did we mention that Mulder's dad dies in this?
Oh yeah, Mulder's dad dies in this. Yeah. He sure does. Krychek kills Mulder's dad.
Right.
Continuing, you know, Mulder's hatred of Krychek that just builds with every season.
Yeah. But like, the thing is Krychek never admits to it, and I don't know that they ever actually prove that he did it.
Right.
So it's like Mulder's just convinced it was Krychek.
Right. You're right. He never really, man.
He never really learns who killed him.
We need to get into Mulder After Dark.
We need to get into Mulder After Dark immediately. All right. And
everybody, calm down for a second. Everybody, calm down. Deep breath.
Unbuckle your belts.
Light some candles. It's time.
Yeah. Make sure you're wearing breakaway pants with snap pants with easily accessible underwear.
Yep. Let's get into Mulder After Dark. Tom, my hands have been in the air this whole time. We're recording over the internet right now. I just want you to know there's no one in my room and my hands are in the air. Just straight up.
So excited for this. The very first thing we see in this episode is Mulder taking some aspirin and giving himself a glass of water while somebody is urgently knocking on his door, and it's in the middle of the night.
He's also, I've never seen someone take that long to drink water.
Take that long? It's like 1 a.m. I've never seen anyone take that long to answer a very urgent knocking at their door in the middle of the night. Like, Mulder's irritated by it.
Yeah, Mulder's...
Like somebody could be telling you that your parents just died or that Scully's been killed or something. Like, nobody shows up like knocking on your door like that in the middle of the night with good news. It's always an emergency.
Right.
And Mulder, he's just like taking his sweet time.
Mulder's having none of it. I don't know what drugs they're giving him, because it's implied because he's like, I'm sick. Mm-hmm. But like, he's clearly on amphetamines later. Like, he goes up and down constantly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's the lone gunman at his door, and Mulder is so sick of their shit immediately.
Yeah.
He is like, not having any of it.
It's like, I don't have any time for this.
Yeah. And they explain to him about the Thinker.
Yes.
And the first thing I noticed in, not this scene, but the scene after, because we talked about already, his neighbor shoots her husband. And they hear the gunshots, and they run to see what's happening. And Mulder takes out his gun. And he runs out in his pajamas. Right?
I think he's wearing jeans.
He's wearing a tank top. I know he's wearing a tank top.
Because that's the thing that I highlighted, is that it looks like he's wearing jeans when he runs out.
Maybe. I know he's wearing a tank top, and I thought sweatpants.
It might be.
Like, I don't
know. If it's sweatpants, it's pretty normal, but like,
right.
But the thing that I wrote down is like, are his pajamas a tank top and blue jeans?
They might be.
Is that how he goes to sleep?
Well, we'll get more into that, the pajamas, later. But the moment I really noticed was then when they realize it has nothing to do with them and it's the neighbor, cops show up and they run up, and Mulder very discreetly tucks his gun away because he clearly doesn't want this heat. Like,
yeah, he doesn't want to explain anything to these guys.
Yeah, it's just a funny moment of Mulder just being like, oh shit. Like,
yeah, he's like, I can't.
He just doesn't want to get involved in this. And then he learns that he's got to meet the Thinker, right?
Yeah.
This is where I want to get into the outfit, because the next scene is him meeting the Thinker at what appears to be like a romantic garden, like a mini golf course garden.
Yeah, it's like some park in DC. Like, I think it's near the mall. I'm not sure.
Did you notice that Mulder's still wearing his pajamas?
Yep.
Yeah.
He just put like a coat on.
He put a coat on. He's got his hairy chest out like a weird hobo. He's probably still got that gun tucked in his pants. It implies that he didn't go back in his apartment.
No, yeah. He just grabbed a coat and then left from there.
Yeah.
The truth can't wait. I need to find the truth.
So he's dressed up. Yeah, so he's dressed up like a weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
And he meets the guy, and the guy says, I don't want you to know my real name.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's important that you know. And Mulder's immediate response with, sounds like a line I used in a bar once.
Yep.
Like, if I were that guy, I'd be like, I'm sorry. Are you Agent Mulder?
Are you? Maybe I should take this to somebody else.
Yeah.
It's like, hang on, let me see your badge again.
Yeah, like, Mulder is... It's this episode and the next. He keeps throwing out these jokes like that. These casual, like, personal life jokes at the worst times.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, Mulder, you're at a work meeting. You showed up to your work meeting dressed like a slob. Just like a weird laundry day creep. Like, he's dressed like a pervert.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's dressed like he's about to go drive by some high schools.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Oh, man.
So, Mulder, this is like, we're not even in the first 10 minutes of this episode.
This is like minute six.
Yeah. And I will say his first interaction with Scully.
It's so good.
He's at like a 7 or 8 in the next scene.
I want to point out that when Scully shows up, she comes into his office and she says, Skinner's looking for you. You need to go up. He's like, Scully, come in here and close the door. He is accessing this dat tape of stolen government files on his work computer at the FBI.
Uh-huh. Also, I wrote down the exact lines because they're amazing.
Okay.
It's you got the first ones. Mulder, Skinner's looking for you. Come in and lock the door. Because, yeah, that's going to matter. And she says, why, what's going on? Mulder responds with, you familiar with the Ten Commandments? Right there and then, Scully should leave.
Right? Just unlocks the door and leaves.
This is not a thing, Mulder. I'm not doing this today.
I don't want to hear about whatever Bible vampire slideshow you're about to show me.
Oh my god. But instead, because she's completely desensitized at this point, she says, do you want me to recite them? And he says, just number 4, the one about obeying the Sabbath, the part where God made heaven and earth, but didn't bother to tell anybody about his side projects. She should leave.
Right there. I don't know what the hell that means, Mulder.
Yeah. And he never, she then says, what are you talking about? He says, the biggest lie of all, and then shows her the DOD top secret file about aliens. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait, what the fuck are you talking about,
Why
Mulder?
The hell did you connect this to the Ten Commandments?
He is red hot. Like, he is... Again, the premise of this episode is that he's been drugged.
Yeah.
But they start him, like, at fucking... just immediately... just in madness, in an abyss of madness. Because then he opens the goddamn file.
Yep.
And it's clearly a code.
It's clearly a language.
Yes.
Like, it's a foreign language. And he's like, it's gibberish. It's a joke. And then he gets up and he's like screaming.
He slaps the keyboard off the desk and says, it's gibberish. And it's clearly a language.
It's obviously another language.
Well, the line I wrote down is, he says, it's a joke, Scully. It's a bad joke. And Scully very quietly says, I think it's just encrypted.
But it's like Mulder... she's like, no, it's Navajo. I've seen this. We used this code in World War II. And like, I just like the idea, like that was also like Mulder's first day of like French class, where he opened his French textbook and like, it's gibberish, and slaps it off the table.
Like, I'm imagining like Mulder wandering into Chinatown and being like, what the fuck is this?
It's gibberish.
This is
kicking
bullshit.
Over signs.
Just firing his gun in the air. Like, I've never seen someone get so enraged and confused at seeing another language.
A language he doesn't speak. He's like, he's so infuriated by it.
So we're 10 minutes into the episode. And Mulder has thrown his keyboard off his desk because he was faced with a very small obstacle. Now, this is a theme throughout, I think, this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It takes like 40 minutes for Scully to go, I think he's been drugged. And I think that's important to talk about.
Yes, because she does not notice that his behavior is out of the ordinary.
Exactly. And that's something, because he is... Again, he's red hot. He's
a Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, it's incredible. And Scully's just like, yeah, just another day with Agent Mulder.
Just another day with Fox.
Yep. You know what the next scene is, right?
I don't remember.
Oh, you'll remember. The next scene is Mulder going to see Skinner.
Oh yeah.
This is Mulder versus Skinner.
Yes, Mulder, like Skinner stops Mulder and asks him about, he's going to...
I wrote down all the lines.
Okay, well, then you just read it, because I forget what Skinner says to him to initiate the conversation.
Tom, I rewatched this scene several times.
Wanted to make sure you got every word, every note of this symphony.
I have every shot. Mulder walks up to Skinner and says, sir? Skinner says, Agent Mulder, I need to speak with you. Mulder says, about? He says, in my office. Mulder says, why? Is this another jerk-off assignment where I end up doing the government's dirty work? Skinner says, it's about a rumor that you may be in receipt of some sensitive files.
Mm-hmm.
Mulder says, I don't know anything about that. Skinner says, Agent Mulder, listen. Mulder begins to walk away. Skinner grabs his shoulder and says, I'm talking to you. And Mulder turns around and punches his glasses right off of his face.
Punches him right in his beautiful head.
We're 10 minutes into the episode. Mulder punches him right in the fucking head.
just bounces his fist off that glorious gleaming dome.
Yeah, Tom, I don't know how many times you watch this, but the series of shots are incredible. The shot, okay. This fucking episode.
Oh, Mulder, this is the greatest episode.
It really is. He punches Skinner. The next shot is of the hallway and a door and an old guy slowly and nervously looks out the office door. Just some random old guy watching it with like a suit on. And then it cuts to a guy pulling Mulder off of Skinner.
Mm-hmm.
And this is important. The reverse shows a second guy is pulling Skinner off of Mulder. So Skinner is immediately matching the intensity of Mulder.
He just got punched in the head.
Yeah. Not only that, but then the next shot is Mulder and he's flailing his elbows. He has been pulled off of Skinner. Basically, the shot of the guy looking out the office door, you hear some scuffling. Mm-hmm. So there's like an implied fight, but we don't really see it. And so Mulder has his elbows just sort of flailing and he's hitting nothing. And then Skinner moves in, grabs the back of Mulder's neck, pulls him in, spins Mulder and puts him in a chokehold.
Yep, and says, "Are we finished, Agent Mulder?"
Yes, but not before Mulder tries for just a second to duck out of Skinner's chokehold. If it's a blink and you'll miss it. So Mulder bends forward and Skinner snaps his ass right backwards and locks him in. And then with his old gruff man voice, yeah, says, "Are we finished?
Finished, it's, Agent Mulder."
It's like someone giving medicine to a cat. Like,
yeah, it's like trying to put a sweater on a cat.
Mulder never has the upper hand.
Of course not.
At no point. Even, and then... And he's just flailing there. And then he just, when he gets him in that headlock, Mulder finally gives up. He lets Mulder go, and Mulder walks away without saying a single word. Just humiliated. Man. Imagine, like, this is like 9 a.m.
Right. Like, the day is just, it might even be earlier than that.
Yes. So everybody's just getting their coffee and hanging out in the hallway when Agent Mulder, the weird basement-dwelling agent, just punches the assistant director of the FBI square in the face and proceeds to get his ass handed to him.
It's truly a real treat. Yeah.
It is one of the best moments of this entire series.
Oh. Oh my goodness.
My God.
I'm glad you broke it down like that.
I really had to, because it's not every day that Skinner fights Mulder, you know?
No.
This might be the only time.
I think it's the only time it happens, yeah. The next scene is Scully coming into Mulder's apartment. Well, that's not the very next scene.
No, and I do want to talk about the next scene and a scene later, and I don't know when to talk about it.
It's when she's in the room with the other guy, like the FBI higher-ups.
This technically counts as Mulder After Dark. It's just not the same Mulder we normally talk about.
Oh, Bill Mulder?
Yes. I just want to mention the fact that Bill Mulder, in the next scene, it's him getting drunk on a patio with the cigarette-smoking man.
It sure
just
is.
Just talking about what to do with him. And then the next time Mulder contacts his dad,
he calls him.
He has a giant glass, and he's drinking it as he's talking to Mulder. I'm pretty sure Bill Mulder, his last day on Earth, is blackout drunk.
Yeah. Because when Mulder gets to his house, like, his dad says a bunch of cryptic nonsense that doesn't make any sense, and then he's like, "Oh, I just took some medication." So he's been drinking on top of his medication. Yes. He just has no idea what the hell he's saying.
Yes, he's just been drinking all day. He learned that his son, he got up again. This is the last scene was in the morning. So cigarette smoking man shows up to his house probably like around like 11 a.m.
Sure.
And is like, "Your son found that file and punched the assistant director of the FBI." And he's just like, "All right, I'll get the whiskey out." And they just start getting drunk. He never stops.
Not until he gets out the bottle and he doesn't stop drinking for the rest of his life.
Yep. He is sobered up by a bullet.
It's a real Leaving Las Vegas situation.
So yeah, Bill Mulder, man.
Oh my God, Bill Mulder. So Scully shows up to Mulder's apartment after he's been like suspended in ahead of a like a disciplinary hearing where they're going to determine whether or not to kick him out of the FBI. And she creeps in when he's like passed out on his couch, and she he hears her footstep and he snaps up with his gun and points it at her face, and it's like, Scully, by this point, like, microdosing or not, you should know not to creep into Mulder's apartment.
You don't wake Mulder. Also, no. I love that he says I took a pill, and it means that it's the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that Mulder fought Skinner, I assume went home, took a pill, and passed out on the couch for like 12 hours, 16 hours maybe. Well,
we know he didn't sleep the night before.
Right, yes.
And he's presumably hasn't been sleeping because he makes a comment about it, and it's from all the fucking speed that they've been dosing him. On top of the speed he normally takes.
Yes. We've talked about this. Yeah. Mulder, we have yet to see him in a bed or... with a bedroom, he doesn't sleep. I mean, the nature of what he does, like, he's clearly taking amphetamines.
Yes.
That's why I think it's the acid more than anything. Like, I feel like they were like, let's give him a dose of acid and amphetamines. And then they're watching him and they're like, man, the amphetamines really should be doing more than they are. And it's just because Boulder has built a tolerance.
Right. He's got a real thick layer of tolerance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Built into that shit.
And again, he's like rage outbursting at Scully in this scene and every scene.
And this one, he's like, I forget what he says, but the line, I forget what he says before it, but the line I wrote down is maybe it's the threat of being burned at the stake.
Yeah.
Which implies that he's been the subject of a witch hunt, which he is like, it's like, no, you have a stolen government file and you punched your boss, the assistant director of the FBI, in the face. It's he's not a so witch
like,
hunt.
Yeah, he's like, oh, woe is me, and it's like, Mulder, you assaulted your superior.
Mulder, you've committed two flagrant felonies.
Yeah, you should be in jail right now. Like, any job where you punch your boss, you don't normally just go sleep it off.
Right, they don't normally have a meeting about whether or not you're fired.
Yeah. No, you're just fired,
you're just
and you're in jail.
Fired, yeah.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you're committing treason with these top secret government files.
He really is, isn't he? Yeah. I never even thought about that, but he is... He is treasoning all over the place.
He's treasoning, just he can't stop it. It's just all over the place.
Oh, shit.
Treason coming out of his ass cheeks, just dribbling down his chin.
Scully asks him, why did you attack Skinner? And he says, I thought about that, Scully. I honestly can't say. At that point, you'd think even Mulder would be like, I thought about that, Scully. I think someone might be dosing me. Like, if nobody can figure out why he's doing what he's doing, again, this says a lot about Mulder when he's not getting dosed, where everybody's just like, yeah, I guess that's just Mulder doing his thing.
I guess it's just Mulder.
Yeah, he's just like, I don't know why I attacked my boss.
That shouldn't be an acceptable explanation.
Yeah. It's, man. So that, after that, his dad calls him while he's downing a glass of booze. This whole episode is basically just a drunken blur for Mulder and his father.
Yes.
Drunken and drug blur. Like, that was one of the things that surprised me. I didn't realize how often multiple people were getting fucked up in this episode. He goes to talk to his dad. And then his dad gets shot.
He
Mulder
sure does.
Barely
by,
responds.
By an apparating Krychek.
Yes.
Like, Krychek appears like the Grudge behind him in the bathroom.
He does. Like, how'd he get in the... He appears in, like, the shower.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a fucking window in there. What are you doing in there, Krychek?
Oh, man. I don't know.
I remember this. It's a shocking scene, like, in the series. Because this is a big deal. It's a big development. But yeah, it doesn't make any sense why Krychek is in the shower.
He just teleports in there.
Yep.
It's like, Mulder summon him?
Yeah. Yeah, through magic powers.
Did you say his name into the mirror 5 times?
Fucking Candyman. Oh, man. It's pretty much like Candyman, because he opens his mirror, and then he closes it, and Krychek's there, like horror movie shot.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense. When Mulder hears the gunshot, did you notice that he barely gets up? Like he does eventually. He's so zonked out.
Right. And then he does like the truly insane thing of just carries his dad over to like his day lounger. Like
Mulder just puts the corpse on the couch and leaves. Like essentially that's what happens. And I definitely want to get into this more in our Name the Enabler section, but basically Mulder calls Scully and says, my dad's been shot. Somebody shot him. And Scully's first question is, Mulder, were you arguing?
Did you have an argument? Yeah.
Now, again, can't stress this enough. Nobody thinks Mulder's been dosed yet. So Scully thinks that Mulder, of sound mind, shot his father over an argument. That's what's happening here.
Yes.
And then she proceeds to tell Mulder to, what, not call the cops?
Yes.
And dis talks him through what to do now that Mulder has, in Scully's mind, perhaps shot his father. She is not sure.
Yeah, potentially has murdered his father.
Yeah, we know because later she takes his gun to see
if he shot.
He shows up at her door all fucked up. Mm-hmm. She puts him in bed. He's half sitting up in bed going, we gotta find out who killed my father. And Scully has to like force him to bed while he's delirious. Again, didn't occur to anybody that he's on drugs yet. This is just Scully thinking Mulder's just being Mulder.
Yeah. Before he left, before he went to his dad's house, he put up the X signal.
Right.
And he doesn't take it down after his dad calls. So it's like, what if he showed up?
Right. That's
you're still going to call X out. And then Scully goes to his apartment and he's gone. And then somebody shoots at her.
Right. Which is, I don't know why that happened.
I guess somebody was trying to kill Mulder.
But, okay, what we learn later, because she steals his gun, tests the bullets, and learns that the bullet that killed Mulder's father was also the bullet fired through the window, right?
I think so.
Does that mean Krychek didn't know Mulder was hanging out with his father when he killed...
I think that's what that means, yes.
So Krychek's just having a... He's probably also drunk.
He commits one successful assassination.
Yes.
That's when he kills Mulder's dad.
Yes, he is a very bad assassin. As we'll learn in the later episodes as well.
Yeah, he's terrible at his job.
Yeah. So, Mulder calls Scully all enraged that she took his gun.
Yep.
Again, this is at no point does anybody assume he's been drugged. So Mulder calls her, gets mad, and says, you've been making reports about me since the beginning, Scully, taking your little notes.
Yep, taking your little notes.
Just swinging at everybody in front of him. Like, for Christ's sakes, he shouldn't be on that much drugs at this point, too, by the way. Right? Like, he hasn't drinking his water in a while.
I don't know how long it stays in your system.
Yeah, that's a good point. But here's the other thing, and I wanted to talk about this before.
Sure.
I know what amphetamines and acid do to you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make you this. Like, acid doesn't make you aggressive,
yeah.
Nor do amphetamines. They make you enthusiastic. So it means that Mulder, whatever they gave him, and
it's reacting badly to what he normally takes.
It really is. Like, Mulder plus acid apparently is a nightmare. A nightmare that no one could have ever saw coming. Because he's just woken up after Scully saves his ass, just screaming at Scully. Meanwhile, his father is just decomposing on his couch.
Yeah, just like, rotting dead on his couch. The whiskey leaking out of the bullet hole.
When does anybody find him? Like, they just leave him on a couch. And they never talk about him again until the funeral in the next episode.
There's two things I wanted to go back and bring up.
Okay.
One is that Mulder has a poster of a typewriter in his apartment.
Yeah, that checks out.
Mm-hmm.
His posters...
His posters are, it's like, I think we've talked about it before in like his furniture selection. It's what an alien masquerading as a human being would go and buy. Just be like, I need some human artwork for the walls.
It's the artwork that you get in the picture frame when you buy it.
Yeah.
But it's a combination of that and constantly space photographs, which you can see like the set decorator being like, well, it's Mulder. He's into aliens. So like,
Mulder likes NASA.
Yeah, throw some fucking space shit up there. Which, again, going back to your thesis, is what an alien would decorate his apartment with.
Yeah, photographs of home.
Yeah, of space.
The second thing, and this is a major thing that I want us to stop and meditate about.
Okay.
What I wrote down is, my God, how did Mulder get from Martha's Vineyard back to D.C.?
Oh, no.
Picture him driving in the state he's in when he leaves his father's house.
Oh, no. I didn't even think about this. How far away is Martha's Vineyard? And Martha's Vineyard is an island.
So, yeah, Massachusetts. So from Massachusetts to D.C.
It's where they shot Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just realized, because I've been to Nantucket, you take a ferry. So right away, the thought of Mulder on a ferry is hilarious.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah. And in any time, Mulder on a ferry is just really funny to me. DC is about a 7-hour trip. Holy shit.
Yep.
So Mulder drove 7 hours.
Onto a ferry.
Onto a fucking ferry. Drove to Cape Cod.
Yep.
Got on a ferry to fucking Martha's Vineyard. Like a very touristy place. He'd have to like stop for gas and like get food and like something to eat. What am I saying? He didn't eat.
No, Mulder forgets to eat for days at a time.
Oh my God.
Dude, does the ferry run at night?
I don't know. He might have stayed at a hotel and overnight.
Did he steal a boat?
I don't know. I don't know. Oh my God.
Yeah, this is a real head scratcher.
This is a lot to take in. It didn't even occur to me that drive.
Yeah, it's a real
that
devastating
drive is,
thought.
That drive is fucking wild. Mulder.
Just try to picture his face.
He drove through New York City. Like, he had to drive through New York.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah, he drove, presumably he drove to New Bedford, where the ferry is. He drove down through, like, Providence, through Connecticut, into New York, through, I believe... What, New Jersey, Philadelphia?
Maybe.
Baltimore?
Yeah, Baltimore.
And then Washington. Like, major traffic, major cities. Holy shit. What the fuck?
Just with no memory of the drive.
Yeah, on acid. This is, again, how long it did... This is the other thing. Acid stays in your system about 12 hours. That's it.
Sure.
That's a 14-hour drive to go there and back. So there's no way. There's no way this is all the drugs. Like
a portion of this is just Mulder.
Yes, a large portion of this is just Mulder, because that whole time he's not drinking his apartment water. He's just on a like what it what that means is that it's like it starts him, like the drugs kicks him off. It pushes him along. It's his father pushing him on a bike. And then Mulder just goes the rest of the way. 14 hours in a car, driving to Martha's Vineyard and back to talk to his father. Also, his father, again, his father called him and was just like, Fox, I need to talk to you.
That's got something important to talk about.
7 hours.
7 hours to Martha's Vineyard.
They could have talked on the phone. Why didn't they talk on the phone? What the fuck?
Yeah, this whole process is a nightmare.
This episode is out of control. We haven't even gotten to the Mulder versus Krycek scene.
No, but we're about to.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. So Mulder wakes up at Scully's apartment, gets mad at Scully. Meanwhile, Scully's
taking your little
again,
notes.
This whole time, Scully's just doing all the work. She's dragging Mulder's fucking ass around, stealing his gun, instructing him how to get away with the murder of his father, maybe. Fucking doing forensic analysis on his bullets. Mulder takes a cab to his apartment. He looks around the corner and sees someone walking around the corner, right?
This is after Scully has told him specifically not to go to his apartment because they will be looking for him there.
Yeah. Mulder sees what could be a person.
Yeah.
He immediately starts running through his building. Like, this could be anybody. It could have been a child he saw. Doesn't matter. He starts running through his building, gets to the other side, and luckily it's Krycek and not some stranger.
Right. Luckily it's Krycek and not, like, I don't know, a garbage man.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Mulder jumps around the corner, grabs Krycek, and starts repeatedly slamming him against a brick wall like he's a circus bear that's had enough.
Right, he really hulks out on him.
Yeah, he's just slamming him so hard that Krycek has to put his fingers in Mulder's eyes to get away from him. Like, he is mauling Krycek.
Yeah. Krycek, the only way he's able to escape is by starting to gouge Mulder's eye out.
Right. And again, this is Mulder. Well, I mean, this really, this... the fucking Martha's Vineyard thing, because what we have to remember now is this is Mulder with the drugs out of his system. Like, there's no way he's on drugs. He drove 7 hours to Scully's place.
Two ways. Lord
knows how he got there. How he got there and back without being pulled over. He must have killed so many pedestrians. And he slept at Scully's place. So this is Mulder, fresh as a daisy.
It's probably like a dead cat lodged in his bumper.
Yeah. 100%.
Pieces of mailbox.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He left a trail. This is, we've talked about this. There's episodes like this where it can only be described as a rampage.
Yeah.
What Mulder does is a spree. So Mulder, not on any drugs like they would like us to think, is slamming Krycek so hard that Krycek has to go for his eyes. Like you would if a mountain lion was attacking you. You're just gouging at the eyes.
Right, if a fucking rabid dog is attacking you.
Yeah, Mulder, it doesn't matter. Mulder slams him onto a car, like starts punching him in the face.
Like he's getting attacked by a shark. He just starts gouging the eyes.
Yeah, 100%. He's... All right, no... I just want to remind you, this is outside of Mulder's apartment. The place he lives, his neighbors are watching.
Yeah, they know who he is.
Yes, his landlord will know about this. Mulder takes out his gun, points it right in fucking Krycek's face.
He takes Krycek's gun from him. Right. Because remember, at the start of the scene, he checks his holster and goes like, damn it. Like, he just exploded, like went nuclear on Scully for taking his gun. And then he forgot she took his gun?
Right. Oh my God, you're right.
What the hell is happening to you, Mulder?
There's so much.
What the fuck, man?
He points Krycek's gun in his face and says, I'm going to kill you anyway, Krycek.
Right.
So you might as well tell me the truth. Did you kill my father? Did you kill him? Answer me. He then picks Krycek up and backhands him onto the ground.
Yep.
In front of his own apartment. He is an FBI agent.
Right. And Krycek, at this point, Mulder really has no idea whether or not he's killed his father. I'm not sure. The first thing he says to him is, I'm going to kill you anyway.
Yep.
Like, why? Like, what's your blood vendetta against him that already existed?
Because he caused Scully's abduction, I guess? Because at this point, it's still not enough to fucking kill him. This is the thing about Mulder and Krychek. Krychek is a very valuable witness to Mulder.
Yes.
And as it's at this point, if Krychek didn't kill Mulder's father, then Mulder should not be this aggressive to him. But Mulder, we're supposed to believe Mulder's on drugs, but as we just figured out, he's not. So this is just Mulder rage. Yeah, he can't be. And that's when Scully steps in and has to shoot Mulder.
Yep.
She's got to put him down before Mulder kills Krychek.
Right. She points her gun at him and he's like, "No, Scully, he killed my father." And she's like, "Mulder, you can't shoot him. Yep. We have to like arrest him." And then she fucking shoots him right in the shoulder.
And he goes down like a sack of bricks. Like,
oh, yeah.
Mulder, he doesn't stagger. He just falls like a redwood and is out.
Right.
He gets KO'd so many times in this episode. And again, I can't stress this enough. It's all outside his apartment. Like, his neighbors
just saw him get shot.
Yep. Just saw him beat a man nearly to death, point a gun at him, scream that he was going to kill him, and saw that lady that at that point they probably know comes around his apartment a lot, shoot him.
Yep.
And scream at him. And then, like, a week later, he's going to be just getting his mail.
Yeah.
He's just going to be walking the hall like, "Hey, how's it going?" And everybody's going to be murmuring like, "That's that guy who made it so that we couldn't go inside our apartment for a night, right? Like, that's the guy who turned our apartments into a crime scene a week ago."
Yeah, he's like walking around thinking himself like, "Oh, these people are so lucky to have a truth-telling FBI agent in their building," because he's carrying a pizza upstairs and they're all like, "There's that lunatic that..."
Yeah, my kid saw him get shot and my kid hasn't spoken since that. Like, this is a really big deal. Mulder should move. He was shot by his friend.
He might be politely asked to relocate.
Yeah, he is causing nothing but pain. It's wild to think about that this is where he lives. So Scully drags him to the Native American guy, who by pure coincidence has a access to aliens. She says, "You haven't had any water in 36 hours, which is weird."
So he's definitely not high by then.
Yeah, which Mulder pathetically says, "You shot me." And then next thing you know, he's in a boxcar inside a quarry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's
the kid takes him there, right?
Right, yeah. And then he calls Scully, and she says, "Where are you?" And he says, "Nowhere I ever expected. I'm in a boxcar inside a quarry. There are bodies everywhere." To which Scully should immediately hang up.
Yep.
And be like, "Mulder, no.
I don't want to be on this recording."
Yeah, I'm so done with you. I'm so done with you. So that's what I got for Mulder After Dark. Do you have anything?
Let me make sure.
Okay. It's a lot, man.
This episode is a real
lot.
Real titan.
This is our greatest moment.
I think that just after the cigarette smoking man firebombs him and like takes off in the helicopter, he has this look on his face like, "I knew it would come to this."
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he's drunk too. He's been drinking with Mulder's father.
That's all he does.
Yeah. Yeah, no, everybody's just super sick of Mulder's shit. Like, what was the plan? They must have been like, "Let's dose him. See if that..." I don't know what. What did they think was going to do to Mulder?
I think the idea was to have him do something to get himself fired.
Right. But apparently he can't be fired. He is immune to getting fired.
The only other thing I had is when Mulder wakes up in Scully's apartment.
Yeah.
He's just in his little briefs. There's a beam of sunlight that's just pouring in right on his dick.
just heavenly junk.
Just bathed in a heavenly glow. Yeah. That's the last thing I had.
Holy shit. This is like, they couldn't have thought. They were like, we gave him some LSD. We didn't think he would go running around Martha's Vineyard going on like crazy sprees. This is something.
Yeah, this can't have been any part of what they were anticipating was going to happen.
Because by the time, again, like, they probably also, if the shadow government's watching them this whole time, they must know at a certain point, they're like, there's not even drugs in his system at this point. Like, there's no way the drugs are still affecting him. Like,
they should kill him for their own safety at this point.
Yeah. Because I remember thinking about this episode in, like, terms of, like, okay, well, he's on drugs, so a lot of what he's going to do is forgivable. And then realizing, like, oh, no, he's on LSD and maybe amphetamines. That's not what that does to you.
No.
And then the extra realization of, like, he's not even on it for that long in the episode.
Yeah.
It's kind of inexcusable. A lot of this is Mulder.
Yeah, this is just Mulder.
Yeah. All right. You ready for fireable offenses?
I think it's just kind of everything we just said.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a long one. The entire episode.
Yeah, literally every single thing he does.
He goes on a criminal rampage.
That begins with him accepting stolen government, sensitive stolen government files.
I mean,
and ends with him burning alive in an underground train car in the desert.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, at this to be continued, Mulder is wanted for treason and murder.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And punching the assistant director of the punching. FBI.
That's the craziest one is because at that point, he should have been immediately fired and wasn't.
Right. It's so weird. Like, like, we have to have a disciplinary meeting. It's like, he punched his boss in the face in the hallway.
Yeah. No reason.
Yeah. For not a justifiable reason at all.
First thing in the morning before breakfast.
Yeah. Skinner hadn't even drank his coffee.
Yeah. And I guess, all right. Well, that brings us to name the enabler, because this is also a sort of everybody situation.
Yeah.
Scully tries to cover up Mulder's possible murder of his father.
Yes.
That was shocking.
That was pretty wild, yeah.
Yeah, because Scully's not on drugs.
That we know of.
That's true.
Scully may get wet. We don't know.
I mean, to deal with Mulder all day, she's probably...
Yeah.
Yeah, she's probably doing something. Skinner lets Mulder get away with punching him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking Man and Mulder's father, this is the first... this is the first instance of that fucking line. They're talking about Mulder's father asks the Smoking Man, are you going to kill him? And he says, last thing we need is a larger crusade. Implying that if he killed Mulder, it would become a bigger thing. Which,
right, who's going to know?
Yeah, who's going to follow in the footsteps of the legend of Fox Mulder, the guy who went on a drug rampage and got shot.
The guy who crashed through several mailboxes and drove down the sidewalk at Martha's Vineyard.
Right. But if they don't kill him, they can still fire him.
Yeah.
There's no reason after this episode for them not to fire him.
Especially if the specific purpose of dosing him was to get him to do something that would get him fired. And punching his boss in the face should have gotten him fired.
Right. That makes me wonder, why did they dose him? Because I honestly don't know.
I don't know either. It doesn't make any sense.
Because after this also, Bill Mulder is dead. So nobody is protecting Mulder. They can kill him. They can kill him. They can arrest him. They can fire him. Mm-hmm. They can do so many things.
All of these things, yes. Yeah.
So we have to conclude from this point on that the cigarette smoking man is some sort of masochist who secretly wants... Because the implication, they say it again, is that Mulder has connections. But yeah. There's can't possibly be a connection that's keeping him.
I don't think we see the senator again.
Yeah. There's no reason from here on Mulder should keep his job.
No. None whatsoever.
Yeah.
He should be cutting out clippings from Craigslist.
Yeah. Tom, my hands are in the air.
They have been in the air this entire time.
The entire time. Is it time for Crazy Like a Fox?
Yes, it is. This is where we assign a numerical rating from 1 to 10 to rate just how crazy Fox Mulder behaved in the episode. 1 being a quiet evening at home, 10 being a drug rampage through Martha's Vineyard. Basically a drug rampage across the Eastern Seaboard.
Yes.
This is a 10.
This is like a 12. This is 100% a 10.
This has shattered our metric.
It really has. We have had one other 10, folks, mm-hmm. and that was all the way in Ascension, which mm-hmm. is that season 1?
No, that's season 2.
Yeah, that's early this season, and that's when Mulder hijacks a gondola at gunpoint.
I tell you, he sure does.
That seems quaint compared to this.
Yeah, that's true.
This is above and beyond.
Yeah, this is, we need to reevaluate our
yes.
scoring.
I can't fucking believe this.
I know.
He is, oh my God. And it just gets, I don't,
he's
I, just, all right.
He's gone berserk.
Yeah, he's gone berserk. And he keeps, I would argue that his brain goes to another level in the next episode. Obviously that's going to be behind our Patreon, but for people wondering, I'm just going to throw this out. Mulder astral projects in the next episode.
Yes, he does.
This is fucking something. These episodes are absolutely just nothing we've experienced.
He astral projects dressed as like the front end host at an Olive Garden.
Yes. Like that happens.
It's incredible.
This is madness. I don't know what to make of this shit. But yeah,
oh my
fucking
gosh.
Solid 10, guys.
This is a 10, yeah, at least.
Yeah.
At least a 10. Holy cow.
Yeah, and that's season 2.
Yeah, that's the end of season 2, yeah.
That's the end of season 2. That's the end of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So the cliffhanger, Mulder is presumably dead in a boxcar of alien corpses.
Yep.
To find out what happens next, you're going to have to check out our Patreon. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Mm. We have exclusive podcasts there, like this one, Fox Mulder's a Maniac, and also Tom and Jeff Watch Batman.
Mm.
We have a bunch of tiers you should check out. So do that.
Yes, please do that. We also have a store, tpublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed, where you can check out all sorts of cool merch like t-shirts, stickers, mugs. We have an awesome print for Fox Mulder is a Maniac. By Starlene
yes.
Hodge, that must be seen to be believed. How cool it is!
It's
so
a classy
check
fucking poster.
It's super class, bro.
Yeah, super class.
Frame that poster, bro.
Yeah, it's worthy. It's more than worthy of being on Mulder's fucking apartment wall. That's for sure.
That's for sure. Yeah, take down that stupid typewriter poster, you
yeah,
dick.
Yeah, what the fuck? Why would he have that poster?
I don't know. Is he a fan of the written word? Like, there's no books in his apartment.
It's kind of the weirdest thing he does in this episode.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Mulder doesn't read unless it's like obscure newspaper clippings about a cave ghost.
He takes all his information in file form.
Yes.
Yes.
And slideshow form.
And slideshow form. True.
He's a visual learner.
Artwork for Fox Mulder is a Maniac is produced by Starlene Hodge. Follow her on Twitter at StarleneX, that's Starlene with an X, or check out her delightful webcomic at rubywhipple.com.